We care about what's inside of us. And because you care, you have fear. If you didn't care about it, you wouldn't fear.
Most of us have two lives, the life we live and the unlived life within us.
Nothing's perfect, and there's going to be a price for everything.
What's the point if you're not really feeling it?
Welcome to The Resistance, featuring meaningful conversations.
We live in a condition of a constant murmuring.
Like, that just doesn't happen for anyone.
That explore that very space between who we are and who we say we want to be. I'm your host, Matt Connor. It's been over 30 years since most of us were first introduced to Ron Underwood. The year was 1990, and Kevin Bacon played the starring role in a little motion picture that could, entitled Tremors. It was a movie impossible to market, a comedy horror, what? Yet it was filled with heart and ultimately earned itself a substantial cult following, spinning off multiple sequels and even two TV series over the next two decades. In fact, Ron Underwood, the film's director, told me he returned from Tremors Fest just last summer, a fan weekend celebrating the film's legacy in New Mexico. Now, from Tremors to City Slickers, from Heart and Souls to Mighty Joe Young, Underwood spent his first decade in Hollywood making feature films. But his shift to television has been even more remarkable in the last 25 years. Chances are you've seen plenty of Ron's work, perhaps even without noticing, since the list of shows includes TV's biggest hits, Monk, Grey's Anatomy, Nashville, Scandal, Castle, Fear the Walking Dead, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Burn Notice, Boston Legal, Ugly Betty, a dozen more, I promise. To be honest, I wanted to front-load this intro with all of Ron's accomplishments, because he comes with loads of credibility on the act of creation. At the center of his work, from his early days as an assistant trying to break into a tough industry, to his current status as a sought-out director, Ron says the aim has stayed essentially the same, to offer up something from the heart to the audience so that it truly connects. On this episode of The Resistance, it was a real joy to sit down with Ron to have a very meaningful conversation about the importance of fear and what it signals, the work of stewarding creativity in a team setting, and the through line of such a long career in Hollywood. I have no doubt at all that you're going to love this conversation with acclaimed film and TV director, Ron Underwood. Hello and welcome to The Resistance. My name is Matt Connor and I'm your host. It's an honor for me to be spending some time today with director, writer. Oh, by the way, are there other hats that you put on that? I'm here with Ron Underwood, by the way. He's going to answer that question for me.
I'm really a director and I wish I was a great writer. I'm not. I always need someone else to be a writer and I can be the director. I wish I had that skill, writer director, but I'm really not.
No, okay, all right. We'll stick with that and let you define your own self there. Ron, it's great to have you here on the episode, but I'd be remiss if we didn't start where we start every episode, which is from our source material, Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art. We pull a quote from there, and Stephen wrote this. He said, "Most of us have two lives: the life we live and the unlived life within us. Between the two stands the resistance." I wonder where you're at with that quote, whether that resonates with you, whether you believe that to be true, whether you've experienced that. And if so, what does resistance look like for you at this point in your creative arc?
Well, yes, I do believe in it. And I think that there is a resistance within us all that we struggle with as we try to create our whatever our work is. And that can be certainly artistic endeavors or business endeavors or whatever. I think we have so much within us that is so beautiful to get out to share with the world. And it would be, there's a natural fear of exposing yourself, of digging deep within. And it's part of the process, that fear that we all have of exposing ourselves, of going too deep, of failure. That's really something that just is within us all, I think. It's important to just sort of think of fear in a different way. We care about what's inside of us. And because you care, you have fear. If you didn't care about it, you wouldn't fear. And so then it would be just whatever, just sure. Let it all out. But we do care about it. And that means something that's positive. And so embrace that you really do have something within you that's worth sharing. And it's a wonderful thing to let others see it, because it can help other people, whether that is from past, your own perspective on something or whatever it is. It's good to share what's inside of you, as difficult as that is. And then there's this process of creating what you dig up out of you, out of yourself. And it's a difficult journey that is filled with roadblocks, procrastination. I'm so good at that. I'm a great procrastinator. But you have to just put one foot in front of the other and make yourself get through the work to get what you have in you out. And that is, you just have to approach it like a job. It is a job.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. It's a good thing to just say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the writers I know who have this very rigorous thing every day, they wake up at such a time, they write for this many hours, whether it's good, bad, or whatever, they're going to do it. And that process, for me as a director, I go in and I might be, I start to question my ideas, is this dumb? Is this really worth the time? It's harder than I thought it was going to be. Oh my gosh, or whatever. But you have to keep pushing forward and get to that point where it, and just by putting one foot in front of the other to get it out of you. And then it's a gift when you can get it out and show it to people, whatever it is, whether it's art or whatever. And that's your perspective. That's, you're sharing a part of you that can help somebody.
I love the way you frame it in terms of care. It makes me curious what you care about now that you didn't care about in the earlier years of your career, maybe during the feature film phase, you'd say, and what don't you care about now that occupied much of your mind or heart in those days?
Wow, that's a good question. I care about reaching people, and I always did care about that.
So that's the same. Reaching people has been the through line.
That has been a through line. And that I'm communicating what I think I'm communicating, which is as a director, your job is to communicate. And it's incredible how often you're not communicating what you think you're communicating. And that is something that as I've matured, I realize more and more, and really try to be clear in my communication in terms of what my point of view is and what I hope the audience or whoever's watching gets from it. And maybe when I was younger, I didn't feel as much about that I just thought, well, if I get it out there, then it's out there for them. But it, you're not necessarily communicating what you think you are. And so it's good to test yourself and see, okay, is this really coming across what I think is coming across? I love the process of filmmaking, and I always have. So I've been a filmmaker for 5 years. I enjoy it just as much today as I did when I was just starting out. But I feel like I'm improving my skills through experience. Although, you know, I'm older and maybe I'm slower than I was when I was 20, but I still love that process of taking something that's written and transforming it into a visual media that is communicating what is on the page. And if it's not clear what's on the page, then getting to the essence of what's there, because you really want to know. And then being in sync with your actors. One thing I love about filmmaking is that it is very collaborative. Mm-hmm. I can't do it alone. I can't do it. I mean, I have so many people that I rely on, but not just rely on, they're my partners in getting this across. And it's very easy for everybody to be on a different path, going different directions. So the production designer is making this movie, and the cameraman is making this movie. The actor is making that movie, and another actor is making that movie. And it is really the job of the director to bring all of those points of view together into one consistent pathway that's telling the same story. And that is what I love about filmmaking. Mm. And I love being able to work with these incredibly talented people. Sometimes it's frustrating if you can't get them on board, but it's rarely, that's rarely the case. And that's really the job of the director, to get everybody going down the same path, to tell the same story. And I love that, because it's taking all of these different points of view and perspectives and trying to channel them together into one thing. And that's why it's complicated. And so many films and TV shows don't really work, because it's hard to get everybody on the same path. But that is the challenge. And it's also the beauty of it, to be able to get everybody together and to harness this incredible talent that you have at your fingertips as a director to work with. I love what the writer contributes, what the actor contributes, what the director of photography, the costume designer, the prop man, and it's the key grip, the grips, every area is just contributing so much. And you couldn't really make what you have in your mind without that group.
That level of collaboration. Let's go back to resistance. When you bring your resistance to a project, and you are the one tasked with bringing together, like you just mentioned, all these viewpoints and all these people, all that, they're also bringing their own resistance to it too. Like you just said, hey, I'm a director, and you're thinking, is my idea dumb here? And yet you're probably also working with the director thinking, am I acting this out right? And the writer who's like, is that line stupid? And is this the right angle from the camera? Like all of that. Can you talk about like working with almost like group resistance and having that come together on a project?
Yes. And it's fascinating, because you have to get everybody past it. And the best way, I think, is to, like I said, put one foot in front of the other, just march forward, have a sense of humor about it, because it, you know, it's not brain surgery, what we do, but I think that it's important to move forward and get everybody to feel, and my job as the director is to make everybody feel free to contribute whatever they can, and not to feel fearful of my reaction or of other reactions, because the creative process needs to have a feeling of freedom. And if people are afraid to contribute, that is a terrible thing for the process. And it's easy to get, it's easy to cut off people's ability and to actually encourage that fear by not being open. I like to be open, and I like to have an open, free set where people can contribute ideas. So it could be anybody can contribute a great idea to make this better. Mm-hmm. And everybody needs to feel that they have that openness to contribute. And everybody is a little different. I mean, I've worked with actors sometimes or and others who are just get so nervous right before their big moment to contribute that it starts to they retreat or they do something, and it's my job to try to help them overcome that, to be open, and they're not going to be judged, criticized because of what they do or don't do.
In your craft, there are certainly people known for having a heavier hand because they may know what they want, or I just don't work that way, this open, like what you're describing, right?
Right.
And there's beautiful things made with that heavier hand or closed offness. And then you're also describing like wanting to bring substantive, beautiful things to the world through this open way. How much do you know to be open to things? How much do you know to, like, have you learned some lessons there or yeah, I guess. Yes. I just wonder what you have to say about that.
One thing I love about filmmaking is that what I do in my process is not something that needs to be done to make a good film or a great film. As you say, I mean, there are people who are very, you know, dictatorial. I want you to hit this mark right here, looking right over this direction. I don't, you know, I mean, and sort of boxing people in a way. Mm-hmm. And there are occasions where some technical thing, you know, makes me even have to do something like that, but I try to resist that. Those people who work like that can make great films. And it's not, I'm not taking anything away from them, but that's not my process. I like, because of the collaborative nature, I want to bring everybody's ideas in as much as possible. However, if you see that somebody's ideas conflict with your vision, ultimately, of the telling of the story or whatever, it's also your job to curtail that or to stop it, because it can derail the whole process. And sometimes that's tricky, because certainly with an actor, you don't want to cut off their creativity.
Yeah.
But if they're going off in a way that you just can't see it, I'll use different techniques in that situation where you do one your way, then could you do one something more in the way I'm seeing it, so that I have some choice? And some actors will say, no, I can't do that. You'll use yours. So I mean, it's a bit of a, you know, negotiation or whatever. Sometimes it's a bit of a realization. Okay, well, this person sees it so differently that will not be consistent with my vision, that I need to rethink how I'm going to tell this story, either using another character differently, yeah, or getting a rewrite, or the way we shoot it, whatever it is, because you can't, if you lose your way so that your vision is not being told, then things could evolve into a real mess.
you grin like that's like you've lived that out.
I try not to have those experiences, but it's a complicated process, simple as it seems, and sometimes things go awry.
Sure. Much more likely to happen in a film than a television episode?
It can happen anywhere. A television episode is different in that often you have a group of people who are working on this constantly, you know, throughout the season. And in dramatic shows, generally speaking, directors come and go. So you're coming in and there's a crew that's working that has been used to working together. But that, you know, that changes depending on the show. Like next week, I'm taking off for New York for a show where it'll be the first episode. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, starting from scratch in terms of a lot of it. And that will be unlike some television series where you're coming in during season 7 and it's a very well-oiled machine.
Interesting. Ron, I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning. You said from the very beginning and even now, I just want to reach people. And that sounds good. And yet I also thought what I think of reach people may be different than what he thinks reach people means, and such a core value to you. I guess I wanted to hear you define that, if you would. Like, what do you mean when you say you want to reach people?
I want to touch their lives through emotion, comedy, get them to laugh, get them to feel something. And hopefully there's something thematic in the material that relates to their life and they can see life in a slightly either different way or, oh yeah, that's the way I feel, or what, you know, to just get them to feel. I feel like that's my job. I'm not interested in doing something that's just out there to just be some visual thing that you're watching. I want to connect to people and have that meaningful to them in some way. And I think, I mean, right now our world needs laughter.
Yeah.
I mean, we need connection. We have such a scary time of divided perspectives and people really just not able to see eye to eye. Yet we're all so similar inside in a lot of ways. We have a lot that connects us in our human pursuits. And I just want to touch that so that people feel a connection.
So you would almost say, I'm more convicted than ever. Like, if that was a drive for you early in your career, now, decades later, not only is that affirmed, but that is...
That's what it's all about.
By the way, what informed that for you early on? Like, because different people would say different things to that. Maybe they would say, I want to tell engaging, I want to engage, or I want to entertain, mm-hmm. or they may say, I want to tell the truth, or, you know, what, or like some people want to make something flowery, visual, just something over here that's maybe not connected.
Right. All of those things are, I think, worthwhile endeavors.
Sure. They're valid. But what drives that for you? Like what's the informed part of that?
I want to have, I know when I go to movies or watch good TV shows, I'm involved with the characters. I care about what they're going through, or I'm just laughing at their perspective on life or whatever it is. And I want that for people because it brings us together. It makes us more connected. And I feel like we need that. I don't always make just very positive shows. I mean, in terms of life is great.
Sure.
I mean, I do darker material as well, but it's still about connection of people in terms of your heart, your love, emotion, it's important to feel connected. And I just feel that that's really wonderful. How do you get that connection though, is through visuals. Those just images can have a power in connecting, getting people to see something. It can be through the performances, of course. And that's what we're watching, is the performance generally in most things. And I've always felt that was my purpose it's become a growing in importance to me through my career, that is what the value is to me of telling these stories. And I feel the same way about movies and television and everything. I mean, people connect to things in the same way when they're watching. In movies, when in a theater, you have a little bit more of a collective experience in that everybody's together, feeling this together. Even if you're not laughing, you feel the other audience members. So that's a special thing.
Hmm. What project of yours that you've been able to work on best embodies a success at that core mission for you?
The next one. I'm always looking to the next one to be the best.
You really do? You look back and go, that did it. If that was an itch, that scratched it more than any other.
I don't think so. I don't think of it that way. I'm always trying, and I'm excited every time I am in starting a new project, whatever it is, because I have the opportunity to tell this story and do it better than I've ever done it. Just be very clear and beautiful and engaging. And the process itself makes it impossible to do it perfectly. And sometimes the things that are less perfect make things even a little better in a way, because of happy accidents or whatever that didn't go the way you thought it would, but maybe is even better in some ways. So it's not just that your vision is going to be this thing that's so great, but you're always compromising in the process of filmmaking. And so by compromising, you're giving up things, but that's the process. It's very frustrating for some people, and it's gotten easier for me because of just doing it over and over to understand that is part of the process. And it's, you can't be an expert. I mean, I love Spielberg films, Scorsese films, Coppola's films. I mean, all these great filmmakers were back in the day, Capra's films or, you know, whatever. But still, it's impossible to be perfect at this. Mm. You're always just trying. You're trying to get it better. And I loved when Kurosawa got a Academy Award for a lifetime achievement when he was quite old. And he said, I'm finally beginning to understand the cinema. Just beginning.
After all this time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard process for perfectionists.
But a worthy pursuit.
Yes.
You've been listening to The Resistance. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. And for more information or further episodes, you can find us at listentotheresistance.com. Audio production by Isaac Vining. Theme music by Jake Kirkpatrick. My name is Matt Connor, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening.